Merry Christmas from your LCMS Reserve Chaplain, Keith Witte, serving Bethlehem Lutheran Church and School in Fairborn, Ohio, and the 42nd Air Base Wing at Maxwell Air Force Base, Montgomery, Alabama. Merry Christmas, y'all.
You're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas on KFUO. I'm Andy.
I'm Sarah, and this is a Christmas fireside chat with our seminary professors. Today, we'll be chatting about where we find Christmas in the divine service, and our guest is the Reverend Dr. Carl Fekenscher, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome, Dr. Fekenscher.
It's great to be with you guys. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Where would you like to begin?
Well, your topic was quite open-ended, and I loved that flexibility. But then when we talked a little further, we kind of began to hone in on how some of the propers that we use during the services, during the Christmas season, progress. And, you know, we do have four different sets of propers for Christmas. Many people will be in church for one service over the Christmas days. Many for two, I hope so. There's opportunity for more in some congregations. Sometimes there's an early Christmas Eve, and then there's a Christmas midnight, something like that. And Christmas Day, I always hope, is fully appreciated, too. Well, with perhaps multiple services, it's kind of fun to think about how the four different sets of propers actually progress. And in practice, what pastors generally do is kind of pick and choose. If they've got two services at their church, they pick out some of the propers that might be appointed actually for Christmas Eve, and then some that might be appointed for Christmas dawn, and maybe some for Christmas Day, but they might have a Christmas midnight in there, whether they've got such a service or not. So there's a lot of flexibility, and where you go on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I hope it's both services at least, will vary from what we're talking about now. But it is fun to see what's out there as potential. And really, if the four sets of propers, most specifically, they're identified as Christmas Eve, Christmas midnight, Christmas dawn, and Christmas Day, are followed all the way through, there's really a very delightful progression that I see as going from anticipation at the very beginning with the Christmas Eve propers to moving toward a kind of quiet stillness with Christmas midnight and Christmas dawn to shouting for joy, actually, on Christmas Day. All of the propers are controlled, as each season really is, by a gradual. The gradual runs throughout an entire season, in this case, the Christmas season, and it gives us a very nice picture of where they're all going. So to begin, the gradual for all four of these services goes like this. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. We'll recognize the origins of each of those verses of the graduals we go through. They come from Isaiah chapter 9 and also Psalm 98. Another place to begin to focus then for the first set of propers, Christmas Eve, is on the collect for Christmas Eve. And here's the way it goes. O God, you make us glad with a yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The reason I think that's a great place to start is because in that collect, it reminds us really not only of the event, Christmas, but also of the reason for Christmas. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, Christ is coming to be born as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Now see, that cuts through the kind of sentimentality that people attach to Christmas, where you got the cute baby in the manger. We all love that. I mean, the secular world kind of likes that too. But we may forget that we're being prepared by the coming of the Christ for when he comes as our judge. Because at the end of the world, we're all going to have to stand before God and be judged. by those who have faith in Christ Jesus or those who don't. And the only reason we can have faith in Christ Jesus for our salvation is because he came to be born, but then to live, to fully keep the law for us, to die on the cross, and rise again to atone for all of our sins. So the collect right away off the top from Christmas Eve kind of shows where all of the propers ultimately want to go. Then, still Christmas Eve, two of the readings are well worth noting. The Old Testament reading is Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 14. The Gospel reading, Matthew 1, 18 to 25. These both happen to be the Old Testament and Gospel readings for Advent 4, year A in the three-year lectionary. And what they do is give us an anticipation of what is to come. Isaiah 7 prophesies the virgin birth more than 700 years before it took place. Matthew 1, the angel tells Joseph what has happened here as he's considering how Mary can possibly be pregnant. So both of these really are pre-Christmas readings that begin to build our anticipation. The next of the services, potentially during the Christmas time, and this next set of propers is designated Christmas Midnight. And there, as we might guess, we're picturing what happens in the dark of night, seeing the shepherds, seeing the angel. And these, again, have some very nice expressions. The introit for Christmas Midnight just begins like this. When all was still, and it was midnight, your almighty word, O Lord, descended from the royal throne. That is not, as our introits usually are from the Psalms or elsewhere in Scripture, that's referred to as a liturgical text. And when we see a liturgical text, that is, something the church has written for the occasion, we know it's very specifically pointed to picture that event. And certainly when we think about Christmas night, whenever that took place, whatever time of year that took place, when all was still and it was midnight, God's word in the flesh came to be among us. The collect picks up the same idea. Oh God, you make this most holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. The shepherds out there watching their flocks by night in the darkness suddenly saw an amazing light as first one angel and then the multitude of the heavenly host all lit up the night sky. And that's why the gospel lesson for Christmas Midnight is actually just the first portion of the Luke 2 reading, Luke 2, 1 to 14, which climaxes with the angel appearing, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and then the multitude of the heavenly host saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The third of the sets of propers for Christmas is designated as Christmas Dawn. And there we picture perhaps ourselves coming to church on Christmas morning and seeing how these things have now come to a delightful fulfillment. We're in this quiet stillness. The introit for Christmas Dawn begins, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. That comes to us from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. And we may recall that we, in the gradual for all of these propers, have also Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. That's the portion, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. But that wonderful message of the child being born, the son being given, comes into this context where people have been walking in darkness all the way really through history. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, people have been wondering, what's the future? What is God really like? And now suddenly we realize fully what God is like when we see that he takes on our own flesh, becomes a human being, and brings God's love in the most magnificent way, truly becoming one of us. That's Christmas Dawn introit. And then the readings for Christmas Dawn include a wonderful epistle lesson from Titus 3. If we had more time, we'd look at that. But it talks about how the light has now come and appeared to us, which we actually participate in our baptisms, so that we are justified by faith. And the gospel lesson for Christmas Dawn is the rest of the Luke 2 reading, verses 15 through 20, which of course then has the shepherds now coming to see Christ, to see him in the manger, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger, and they ultimately will go out and tell those around them what they've seen. And finally, the fourth of the propers for Christmas is designated as Christmas Day. And as I said before, it may very well be that a Christmas morning service at your congregation uses some of these other propers, but if we are following all the way through, we now move from that anticipation to that quiet stillness in the night, now finally to the overflowing joy of Christmas morning when we see it all coming together. In this proper, in this set of propers, the introit draws upon Psalm 98. And this is quoted in the introit. I'll read you part of it. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Now, an astute listener might guess that that is the text that Isaac Watts used, setting to music by Georg Handel, to give us our magnificent Christmas hymn, Joy to the World. And, you know, if we've gone through Silent Night in anticipation, that quiet stillness, and gone all the way through the propers and gone through our whole Christmas experience, by the time we get to this moment, we're ready to sing Joy to the World. Now it's just flowing out of us. We can't hold it in. It's coming out with such exuberance. For Christmas Day, the propers reach their culmination with a gospel reading, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. But not to be overlooked is the Old Testament lesson for Christmas Day. And this is from Isaiah chapter 52, and here you really hear the shouting for joy. Isaiah says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Break forth together in singing. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. That is not a bad way for our celebration of Christmas to culminate. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. I'm ready to shout for joy.
The Reverend Dr. Carl Fekencher, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Thanks for the chat.
My delight. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, Andy.
You're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas on KFUO. I'm Andy.
I'm Sarah.
Have you ever thought about making a gift to KFUO through your Donor Advised Fund or DAF? When you make a donation to a DAF, you are eligible for an immediate tax deduction. Then it's just a matter of recommending a grant to KFUO. Hi, I'm Mike Fisher, Senior Gift Planning Advocate with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I'm here to help you leverage your love for KFUO. Contact me about giving through your Donor Advised Fund by visiting kfuo.org/give. Giving can be easy, and I'm here to help. kfuo.org/give.